blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection this Good Friday is Matthew 27, the verses 32 to 56. Matthew chapter 27, verse 32 to 56. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed. "But he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him." Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, the tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. My theme for reflection is when love stands in the face of rejection. When love stands in the face of rejection. If you want to know what people truly value, watch what they mock. It is often easier to laugh at what we do not understand than to face what might change us. And sometimes the things most worthy of honor are the very things the world chooses to ridicule. In Matthew 27:32-56, we are brought face to face with the crucifixion of Jesus, not as a distant theological idea, but as a raw public spectacle of humiliation and suffering. Crucifixion was reserved for the lowest, the rebellious and the disposable. Jesus Christ is mocked by soldiers, paraded through the streets, stripped, beaten, and crucified between criminals. Religious leaders mock him, passers-by insult him, and even those beside him join in the derision. Everything about the scene declares one message: rejection. And yet, beneath the surface, something far deeper is unfolding. Matthew shows us that what appears to be defeat is in fact divine purpose. Darkness covers the land, the temple curtain is torn, the earth shakes, creation itself responds. The one rejected by human systems is revealed as central to God's redemptive work. What looks like the triumph of power is actually the unveiling of sacrificial love. In a world shaped by success, visibility, and control, the cross confronts us with a different vision of strength, one that endures suffering without retaliation, one that remains faithful even when misunderstood. Lent invites us to sit with this uncomfortable truth, that love is often costly and faithfulness is not always recognized. The death of Jesus confronts us with a scene both unsettling and full of mystery. At noon, when the sun should have been at its brightest, darkness covered the land. Creation itself seemed to recoil. And then comes that piercing cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? These are not words of weakness alone, but words that reveal the depth to which God in Christ was willing to go, to enter fully into human abandonment, suffering, and even the silence that so many fear. Those who stood nearby did not fully understand. Some mocked, others speculated, and a few watched with a mixture of curiosity and indifference. Yet even in their confusion, something undeniable was unfolding. When Jesus finally cried out and gave up his spirit, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, a powerful sign that the barrier between God and humanity had been removed. The earth shook, rocks split, and even the dead were stirred. And perhaps most striking of all, a Roman centurion, an outsider, a man far from the faith of Israel, looked upon all that had happened and declared, "Truly, this was the Son of God." What do we make of such a moment? Jürgen Moltmann once wrote, "The cross is not the end of Christ's life, but the beginning of God's new world." The cross, then, is not a symbol of defeat, but of divine power, revealed in a way the world does not expect. It is where God does not stand far from human pain, but steps into it fully, willingly, and redemptively. For those who do not believe, the cross can appear as tragedy. A good man unjustly executed, a life cut short. For those who fear death, it can seem like the ultimate loss, the point where everything ends. But the gospel insists on something deeper. Jesus Christ does not merely die. He transforms death from within. He faces it, absorbs it, and breaks its final claim. The prophet Isaiah had already spoken of this mystery. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 5. The suffering of Christ is not meaningless, it is purposeful. It is through his wounds that healing comes, through his death that life is revealed. This is why Good Friday is not only a day of sorrow, but also a day of profound hope. The darkness at noon does not have the final word. The torn veil speaks of access, the trembling earth of awakening, and the confession of the centurion of revelation. Even those who did not expect to believe begin to see. And what does this mean for us today? It means that we need not fear death as the end, nor suffering as meaningless. In Christ, even the darkest moment can become the doorway to life. The power of Jesus is not displayed by avoiding the cross, but by overcoming it. Life with him is not an escape from hardship, but a transformation of it. To belong to Christ is to know that nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. So we stand at the cross, not only with grief, but with awe. For here, in what looked like defeat, God was working salvation. And in the one who died, we discover the one who gives life, full, abundant, and eternal. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where in your life are you tempted to avoid costly love because it may not be recognized or appreciated? Number two, how might the cross reshape your understanding of strength and faithfulness? And now our practical exercise for the day. Choose one act of quiet, sacrificial kindness, something that may go unnoticed, and offer it intentionally as a response to Christ's love on the cross. Gracious God, we stand in awe of the love revealed on the cross. On this Good Friday, help us to see beyond appearances and to trust in your deeper purposes. Give us courage to love when it is difficult, to remain faithful when it is costly, and to follow Christ even when the path leads through suffering. May our lives reflect the quiet strength of your redeeming love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.